Welcome back, venturers, to the thrilling conclusion of episode 14. This episode is the second part of a two-part episode, so if you haven't listened to part one yet, turn back now! But, however, if you are in the right place, we'll get you right back into the stinky dungeon action in just a minute here. Before we do, I want to say a quick thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song and to Sirenscape for providing additional background audio. Also, a huge, shiny thank you to each and every one of you who follow us on social media, have left a rating and review in your podcatcher of choice, and who donate to us on patreon.com to make our dang dreams come true. You all flippin' rock. So, here's a quick recap of what happened last time on episode 14, part 1, then we'll dive right into the action. Last time, our heroes headed into the sewer tunnels under Chaosiana at the behest of Bartleby, a demon of knowledge recently turned nightclub owner. With only an hour to make a midnight rendezvous with the Slytherin court agent called the Duke of Pudding, our heroes quickly located the entrance to the Fae's subterranean den and bypassed a creepy hall of decaying heads and shouting magic mouths. Their efforts led them into a trash-filled sewer intersection, with an odd dormitory-style hangout for the Duke's mortal cronies. After finding a slime-filled pot and some magic potions of resistance and a cryptic note stashed under a pillow, the maidens headed back into the main room and started clearing the floor grate to descend deeper into the sewers. As the garbage was shifted, they suddenly heard a splash and saw a grayish slime creature slither towards them. And that's what happened! Now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Further down we must go. No spare time to be slow as we head to the beast's belly and confront the Lord of Jelly. Pray that the smell will come out as we head into campaign 2, episode 14, Slime Time, part 2.
So you start, like, kicking at the trash that you saw Lou is basically just, you know, blocking this grate. And as you do, it's nice, the water in the level in the room starts to lower a bit, because now that all the trash is out of the way, you know, more water is splashing down into whatever is down there. And you can see, the latticework crisscross. Looks very similar to the grates up above on the street level. So, yeah, it is something that you could, like, lift and shove, but it's definitely going to take a lot more effort. As you're doing that. So as you're clearing away and, you know, stuff is clattering on and off and you're trying to, like, clear and get a view down, why don't all of you go ahead and make me some perception checks?
Ruby.
Ooh, that's a natural 20.
Ooh, oh, shit. Oh, bitch, let me get out of your way.
And a 16 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, you all fucking are great. So you, like, are clearing things out of the way and talking about, you know, the best way, like, how are we going to lift this? Because it's clearly going to be a two-person job to lift this and involve quite a bit to, like, get some leverage here. When kick off, like, one of these rusty helmet or something and it splashes off into the water. And there's, like, a pause moment where you're like, wait, something was wrong. Because you heard a second splash that, like, immediately followed that. And none of you have moved anything. So you look just in time over towards, you know, where you kicked off that helmet there, and you see that coming up from the grate is like this tendril of grayish something, like slime that moves up and like a thin little rope comes out and snakes into the water, and you see more of this gray sludge following behind and, like, disappears into this pile of trash. And then on the very far side, another one of these, like, snake ooze things comes out, and rustling starts in these piles of trash here. As you see, these slime things have crawled into like amalgamated suits of armor and trash and now are like hobbling towards you both, like in those awkward movements where like there are no actual muscles or anything like animating this armor, but they're coming to get you. You got some ooze-filled armors here, so everybody, let's roll some initiative.
It's like a trash hermit crab.
Yeah. So, and it suddenly makes sense. Ah, if they're oozes, yes, traveling through the grate would be super easy.
Would you say that it would be great?
It would be great. It would be great.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Oh, no, I loved
Aoife
it.
Aoife got a 6.
I loved it. Aoife got a 6. Okay.
Oh, 13. Wow. Tony got a 5.
Oh.
Okay. All right, so.
Just a little bit horrified.
13 for... Ew! Have any of your characters ever seen an ooze creature?
Certainly not.
Okay. Then this is horrible. This is like a pile of goo that is just inhabiting these armors. What the hell is that? It's like you're being attacked by mold. It's great. Super great. Okay, so... Oh boy. They both rolled surprisingly well, which is unfortunate. So here you go.
Unacceptable!
Unacceptable! as you all are taking this in, and these two like trash ooze beings are coming shambling towards you, you do not react fast enough to avoid one of them taking a swing at. Let's see. There are. Oh, also Bartleby disappears.
Of course he does.
Naturally.
No idea. So, taking a swing at Aoife, just from behind you here, one of these things is coming up, and it reaches out and, like, slashes at you with, you know, the arms, these rusted arms of half-together armor bits. So, here we go. All right, that'll be a 10 to hit you with the first one. No?
No.
Okay, so the first one that you just see the awkward movement as clearly, like, the ooze is trying to figure out how hands work, and it limply flops away from you. It's easily avoided. But the second swing comes in here with a 14.
That hits exactly.
Yeah, so you were like, haha, oh no, they can't move very fast. Then you're backhanded across the face by a gauntlet as you take 5 points of bludgeoning damage as it just makes contact with your face, and you're definitely getting tetanus.
No!
No! Luckily, that's not a disease in the DMG, so you're safe for now. But Lou, so you finally get a hold of yourself, and you see, one of these things is ambling right towards you and Tony, and Aoife just got backhanded by one.
Oh, okay. She's going to make her way over to the one on Aoife. And she'll take out the big knife. And
the big knife.
First attack.
TM.
Alright, that is going to be a 20.
Ooh, yes, a 20 will certainly pierce through the shoddy armor that is starting to fall apart.
Great. I get my sneakies. So that will be 6, 8, 11 plus... 314 points of piercing. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ow. 14? Ow! Rogues, man. And your sharp, well-maintained steel, it's like on those infomercials for the good knives when they show you, like, cutting through different things. You know, they're like, yeah, no worries. Like, paper, woo, like, metal. You just shear right through this thing and, like, half of the chest plate just falls off and you see a little, like, ooze tendril arm waving and then... like, slurps back into its body to reincorporate. Yeah.
And then I will use my bonus action to do an offhand attack.
Yeah.
Oof. That's an 11.
At 11. So this time it is too quick. It manages to turn around. So your offhand glances off of the armor shell that is protecting it. Okay. Well, Tony, that means that you are all alone on the far side of the room. So this second suit armor ooze thing is coming for you. So it's going to reach out and try to get you, try to grab you. Definitely has the same issue as the first one, where it can't even hand for the first attack, as it just flails and misses you. But it comes around with the second one. Oh my god. Wait, I was rolling damage. Oh, that makes sense. Oh god, a 23?
To hit me? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the first one, it's just like, oh no! And then the second, like, uppercut, like, throwing, its body up under your chin. So that's gonna be 8 points of bludgeoning damage as this thing just uppercut.
Ow.
Sorry, I've been rolling, like, max damage, both of you. I'm
does
so sorry.
1 trillion hit?
does, like, a billion? How about that? So, Tony, you're just, wow, seeing stars for a moment as this thing just punched you with a force that it should not have because it's goo in a suit, but that's fine. Eva, we come to you.
Oh, jeez. Well,
oh, God.
Oh, barnacles. Well, she's going to, yeah, with her, whip out her rapier again and then just head towards turn around towards the one that smacked her in the back of the head and is going to plunge her, at least attempt to plunge her rapier into its squishy, gooey body.
Yay, goo.
Oh, it's so bad.
Oh, no.
It's like a 6.
It's
nowhere near hitting.
What does that absolute failure look like, Aoife?
God, she just, like, she tries to line it up, and then it, like, as it dodges out of Lou's offhand attack, it just, like, swings this metal plate in front of it, and you just hear as the point of the rapier just, like, dings into this metal thing, and you just hear it echo out, and it, like, reverberates up her arms, and she's like,
hate that, yeah. Ugh, that sucked. Anything else for you?
No, that's her turn.
Oh, it's hard to be level 3. It's so hard, you guys. All right, Tony, we now come to you. You've recovered from seeing stars, and this thing is shambling right in front of you.
I mean, I also don't know how effective it is to swing my sword at it, or if I should just, like, hold my shield and slam it down on top of it.
Lou's normal knife seemed to do damage to it. So that's a pretty good indication that your sword will also do something.
All right, then. Up we get, we pull out Clyde, and we swing away.
Yeah!
Okay. Well, that's gonna be 11, I think, to hit. Can I use my inspiration to do
boy.
That again?
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Inspiration.
Your breakfast inspiration. Yeah, so that would be how does that work again?
Because she ate something that I crafted, then I get to pick one person to have inspiration.
Yeah, and that's like game inspiration. So yeah, you can go ahead and do a reroll. So rolling with advantage.
I'm inspiring my breakfast. Oof, that casserole.
16?
A 16! A 16 will hit.
Great.
Hell yeah.
Yay!
Thank you. She burps and a little bit of bacon comes up. Flavor, not like a little bit of bacon.
You know
it's
what? It's fine. It's all gross. It's all gross here. It's all fine. I'm not going to judge. I will not judge.
Far from the grossest thing we have seen or will see.
Yes.
Yeah. 9 slashing damage.
Hmm. 9 slashing damage. Nice. So you, again, it's this thing where, you know, this suit of armor, these little bits of trash cannot stand up to, like, a finely honed blade as you shear through a bunch of that. And you just see, you know, big gashing slashes in the armor allow you to see to the, like, undulating gray thing underneath that's puppeting this armor. And then we are coming back up here to the one that is attacking Lou and Aoife at the moment here, which looks, I mean, you did some serious damage to it, Lou. So it, it's hurting. About half the armor is gone, and it is going to turn its attention away from Aoife, who didn't hit it this turn, and focus its ire on you, Lou, as the source of its pain. Will a 13 hit you?
No, thank God.
So you deftly dodge out of the way, and then a 9. So this thing just can't manage to hit you, and it's trying to navigate, you know, having only one arm now, and it's trying to kick, and that just doesn't seem to be working for it at all. It has no understanding of anatomy.
Lou's eyes just glow in the dark with just extreme desire to not be touched by any of this shit.
Hate all of this. Well, it's your turn, so how you get your revenge?
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go back in and try to slice off another piece of armor here.
Get out of here!
That sucked! That's a 9.
Yeah, nope.
So then I will... Yeah, she just, like, goes in for a stab and just punctures, like, a sour carton of milk.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that trash wasn't actually part of the suit. It was just stuck to the suit. Gotcha. Yep, no worries.
Then she's gonna go back in for an offhand attack. That is gonna be a 17.
Ooh, a 17 will do.
Nice.
That is gonna be 10 points of piercing damage.
Ooh, all right. How do you obliterate this suit of armor, I will say? You don't quite get the thing inside, but what's your slice and dice?
I just dice it up. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so she will go ahead and just take her knife and just, like, turn the blade so that it's flat. And instead of going in to slice, she just, like, moves it in a figure eight motion and just knocks all the trash out of the goo.
Yeah.
And just, like, gives it one last flick to get the shit off her knife.
Yeah, as you do, yeah, it crumples around, you know, as the ribbons and just it disintegrates. And you can see this thing now outside of the suit of armor. It's a pile of sludge. It almost looks like wet sand because it is like grayish kind of color, maybe about the size of like a beach ball, as it splats onto the ground there. And you can see it already starts to kind of reform into a triangular pile and seems to have two little arms that are waving
it's
angrily.
Kind of cute.
I know. It's kind of cute. But also, so you have gotten it out of the armor, but this thing is still here. Undulating threateningly. Anything else for you, Lou?
Delightful.
Nah, that'll end my turn for now.
Nah, we Gucci? Okay. Then we are going to go to the second armor that is still armored. Tony, it's coming at you. Here you go. Swing a 20 to hit. Thanks.
Yep.
So it's going to club you for 4 points of damage as it gets a swap in there. And then it's coming around with a second one, but this was only a 10. So you managed to, you know, deflect that shot here, but it gets one good punch in on you, which brings us to Aoife. So you have a pile in front of you of this sludge thing. And then behind you, Tony is still dealing with the fully armored version.
She'll run around, or she'll turn around and run back towards Tony to give her a hand, and we'll try and thrust her rapier again into the other one of these creatures.
All right,
that's a natural one.
I don't think Aoife has ever hit with a rapier.
Rolled a 2 and then a 1.
I think you got one hit in episode 2.
I think she got one in by the quicklings, maybe. I don't know, but she is clearly not a skilled swords person. And she...
Don't you have magic?
Not magic that damages. What do you want
from
me? I'm
a bard. You're gonna be a stone cold killer at the age of 17.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you just clang off of it and... you see, you puncture it. You make a little hole and some, like, sludge water, like, comes out in, like, a little shooting stream and kind of, like, gets in your face. And that seems to be the extent of the damage you've
fantastic.
Done. Nasty sewer water.
That's all for her.
Good. Tony. Oh, Tony. It's
up to you, kid.
All right. Well, we're going to go for the armored one around me.
Okay.
With our greatsword again. That's, oh, a natural 20.
Oh, shit.
My tongue dice are treating me right tonight. Okay.
It so is time.
Roll those dice
four
twice.
Four d6s. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Love those 4d6.
Love that. Journey for you.
12. 12 slashing damage.
Is that plus your nice. Strength modifier?
Yeah.
Cool.
Rolled a 9 and then
yeah,
3.
So you get a great hit off on this thing as you're just shattering, you know, the exoskeleton of trash this thing has amalgamated. And just like the one that happened to Lou, the armor disintegrates and there's this sound as like it just seeps onto the ground and there's this little pile now of goo that's like wiggling just barely above, because there's about a foot of water right in this room still, so there's enough of this thing that it just the top of it crests above the water, and it doesn't have eyes or a face or anything, but you can tell it's looking at you, which creeps you out.
Step on it. He's not going to block out whatever face there is.
Do you have an attack left? Because
no.
It'll definitely try to avoid that.
Fine.
Okay. Don't worry, kids. We're not done. We are not done. So we come back up to the top here where this pile now. So you are standing all on your lonesome, Lou. So it is. Let me just switch over. So you see this tentacle. This pseudopod, if you will, launches out of this thing and comes at you like a whip, basically, as it's trying to lash at you. Just this mass of gray ooze looking to do a little slappies here. So, oh God, okay, that's only a 9. So you're like, no, you're doing some rogue shit. Yeah, you are just getting the hell out of the way, which is... working great for you. And then, Lou, we come to you. You get to respond.
Yay. I don't have anyone next to me, so, and I still want sneaky. So Lou is going to go ahead and just look like she's about to go deck this thing in the face. But right as her fist is about to make contact, she's going to trigger her sonic blade from her sleeve.
Yeah, cool.
And you guys just hear a noise as just the air around her fist. You can see just like particles go around the shape of a blade as she sticks it right through this thing. And let's see if I hit. Yes, that is a 16 plus 5, 21.
Yes.
And that is going to...
Oh, yes. Piles of goo do not have a great AC. I'm just going to let everyone know right now.
Hey, you know what? Don't take away our victory.
11 points of thunder damage.
Wow, 11, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Yeah, you splatter this thing, and you see about half of it just, like... vibrates into non-existence as your sonic blade passes through it. So you have absolutely halved this thing directly. And so now it's barely like creeping above the surface of the water. And you can see it is starting to assemble itself now. And it looks like it's getting ready to launch itself back into the grate after that like devastating blow. Anything else for your turn?
Action, and then I get to do that. Yeah, I'll do an offhand attack because why not?
Woo!
That is a 16.
Yeah. Great hit. It's like shooting fish in a barrel at this point.
All right. And that's going to be just 3 points of damage.
Yeah, so you slice more off the top of this thing, and you know, like a parfait, it's just starting to lose those layers. Hell yeah. It is very small now and absolutely panicking, which is going to bring us now to the other ooze, who is still squaring off with Aoife and Tony. And this thing, I don't think it realizes the other one is in dire straits yet. So you see, again, this tendril come out of this thing. And Tony, it's whipping towards you. Fuck, Tony. I don't know what. I'm like, with Lou, I'm rolling 10 or below. With you, I've only rolled 18 or above. So a 21.
Great. Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. So here we go. This is rough. So we're going to start by taking 5 bludgeoning damage.
All right. This is a good start.
7 acid damage. And are you wearing non-magical metal armor, my dear? You are, aren't you?
No, actually.
What are you wearing?
Leather.
Ooh, great. Okay. That is good news. So
I have the shoulder plate. That's it.
Well, just for your look, though. That's not, like, actual. Your AC isn't. Your AC,
yeah,
you're
I
using
guess so.
Leather armor.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So as this tendril, like, slaps at you, you smell burning. Like, when somebody, you know, stamps into leather or something, like, that singe of whatever that acid damage is, like, where it flicks on your skin, that's what you're taking the damage from. But you can see it leaves a burn print in the acid, like, on the leather here. And you're like, oh, shit, if I was wearing metal, that probably would have just corroded right through that shit. Also, something to note, your sword is made of metal. So now you're like, uh-oh, if you were to slice through this thing, you wonder if it would affect your sword. Just something to keep in mind.
Okay. All right, we can make adjustments.
So whatever these things are made of, it seems to be highly corrosive. But your leather armor saved you, Tony. Good choice. Aoife, we now come to you.
Seeing that Tony is not looking great, she's just gonna, you know, reach out and her little magical needle will go and start to stitch up Tony's wounds, and we'll throw a level 1 cure wounds on you to heal 7.
Oh, amazing.
Nice.
Thank you.
And that is her turn.
Oh, yeah. All right, Tony, we now come to you.
Okay. Then we're gonna put away...
Yeah, if you hit this thing with your metal sword, it's probably going to be bad news.
Yeah, putting her sword away, she's going to take out her whip, her leather whip,
mm-hmm,
and whip
mm-hmm.
it good.
Whatcha?
Oh, nice. 19.
Okay, 19 absolutely smashes into this thing, so go ahead and roll your damage. They seem to be able to move very slowly. Out of the armor. They're slow moving, easy targets, clearly wearing no armor. They got an AC of 8, kids. So.
5 slashing.
Okay, yeah. So you, sink into this thing, and like what was happening with Lou, you just, pieces of it are disintegrating as you're flicking off some of this fluid here. So it's still there, but these things are now officially in trouble.
Great.
Anything else?
I'd also like to take a bonus action. Yeah, but I want to use a bonus action to get a second wind.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll that tail. Sweet. And then we do come to the next Ooze's turn, and that one just, it is going to try and make a dash for the grate. So you get an attack of opportunity, Lou, as this thing is trying to just launch its body back down into that grate.
I got a natural 20.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Poor guy. At least I don't have sneak attack damage, at least. So that's going to be 7 points of thunder damage. Mm.
How do you obliterate this thing?
I think that the high-pitched sound emanating from this sonic blade just turns into a full-on screech. As she, like, amps it up and just stabs it into this thing before it can get away. And she is going to immediately turn back towards, like, the other one, kind of, like, stand between the grate and where it seems to be looking a little nervous. Jiggling a little nervously, I guess.
Yeah, he is undulating. Yeah, that's, yep. Yeah. So you move over there and It doesn't have facial expressions, but I would be nervous. It's probably nervous, which brings us to its turn. And it's surrounded now by all three of you, blocking the grate, but it's got no other chance at this point. So you see it, you know, spiral out into that rope as it tries and like does a leap into the grate. So all of you get attacks of opportunity. So I guess let's look at initiative order. So probably Aoife, you would get the first swing since you're the closest to it and next in initiative.
Nice. All right. Yeah. With her rapier not knowing any better, she gets, oh, damn, that is a 17.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh,
hell yeah.
Well, roll your damage.
7.
Okay. So you slice through this thing. You splatter a ton of it. It's still not all the way dead, but you're like, yes, I finally hit it. And you smell something like coming from your rapier as it starts to singe as you see the edges of it like burning away and like pitting with this thing's body on it. So your weapon basically takes a -1 now to damage rolls. And if the penalty drops to -5 in total, the weapon is destroyed.
Mm, cool.
So
cool.
You still have some room. You could theoretically get 4 more hits on something like this, but if you do that, your shit is toast and a -1 to damage for now until you get it repaired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're like, oh no! Look at the rapier. But Tony, it now comes to you. You get an attack of opportunity.
All right, here we go.
Whatcha?
That's 13 to hit? That should, yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, and it's with my whip again, so.
Whoppa!
Oh, only 3.
Okay. 3, you still, I mean, it's scrambling. It's so small now, Lou, as it comes in, like, just feebly flying through the air.
I don't have a reaction.
Oh, shit! It doesn't, so you do not make it. And you're like, no, as this thing, and you see it, it's, like, spun its body to be only about, like, an inch-long rope or so. These things seem to be able to transform themselves. And easily, it swan dives into this grate. And you don't hear anything for a while until there's a splash far down below. We are out of combat.
Sorry, I kind of dropped the ball there.
At least it's gone.
Sure. How are you? Lou just goes over to Fuss.
You know what? After all that, I'm kind of back up to speed. I know I got knocked over a bit, but thank you so much, Aoife.
She makes little heart hands at you. Lou, do you need any healing? Are you all right?
I'm okay. I didn't get touched by any of the slime boys, so.
And Bartleby appears all of a sudden and says, oh, good, I'm glad you all are still alive. We should move on. He looks at his wrist like there's something there, but there isn't. We should move along.
What time is it?
We are running out of time, is the short answer.
So, I mean, does anybody else have any other options that they've come up with other than jumping down in this grate? Because I still really don't want to.
Well, it seems pretty clear to me, since we are pursuing the Duke of Pudding, that they're probably going to be down there. You do know pudding is a type of ooze, yes?
I'm starting to think it wasn't rice pudding, that's for certain.
Definitely not tapioca.
Oh,
let's name more puddings so we still don't have to do this.
Right. Yes. Well, yes, on you go. Waves hands for you to lift up the grate.
Do you have a crowbar of cooking over there, Lou, to help us jimmy this thing open?
That would be ridiculous. What kind of chef has a crowbar?
I have a machete. No.
I totally have a crowbar.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I know.
What?
It's for opening the deep freezing.
The beans! The cans of beans!
Oh, we get so many shipments of fresh produce that I have to open. Just in case I bring it with me.
There it is.
All right, so we're opening up This great.
Yeah.
Yep. And before we jump down, head down there, Aoife is going to cast See Invisibility, which lasts for an hour.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
So, you cast that.
Aoife, go in front. And... Just kidding, don't do that.
No, don't, please. So, you struggle to get this grid open because it is quite heavy. It probably weighs at least 100 pounds. But after some scraping and moaning, you do manage to move it enough to the side that you can look down. There is no ladder or anything. Traveling down into the dark, you can see about 20 feet below you, there is just dark, cloudy water with pieces of trash moving around in it. So it just looks like a sheer drop into a bunch of water.
We should pile up the trash and shove it down there, so then we can jump onto that, so it'll be less of a big jump.
Won't that be quite loud?
They already know we're here. They know we're coming. It's not like a feckin' surprise, Mr. B.
He looks at his wrist again.
Maybe the big stuff we can push down.
I mean, there are also all those mattresses. Are they small enough to shove in?
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
Hell yeah. Let's get some mattresses.
Yeah, you can find it. Yeah, sure. You can find a moldy ass mattress and like shove it down there. And you see it. Yeah, it splashes and bounces down and up and is like floating on the surface. I will say the other trash that you shove in there, it just poop and like disappears to the bottom. And you're like, oh, that's probably deeper than it looks, is your general impression.
Well, I guess I'll...
But yeah, there's that mattress. That sweet, filmy mattress. Yeah.
How far down is this?
It's only a 20-foot, like, drop to the surface of the water.
Okay.
I will jump on in.
Splash! As you land, and the mattress does that thing where it sandwiches around your body under your weight, so you get slapped on both sides by moldy mattress, and you're like,
why? Squelching.
Why? And it sinks with your weight, yeah, and the thing, and you're like, what was this idea? So you're like, kind of have to kick mattress off of you, and you're fine. Just... You're treadmilling now in the water, and that's better than the mattress, honestly.
She just kind of like kicks the mattress away. She's like, don't do that. That was a bad idea.
Your hair is wet. Everything's wet. You're so stinky. God.
It's going to all get wet anyway if it's as deep as I think it is.
Yeah, it's deep.
Yeah, you can't feel the bottom, Lou. Yep, so you all jump down and Bartleby floats down gently.
I hate him.
And kind of hovers above the surface of the water. He's like, I'm sorry. So looking around this room here, it is the exact same size as the room up above. A roundish room. Where you are looking now from, you can't feel the bottom of the water as you're treading. You can see that there are four tunnels that lead out of this room. You can only see the very tops of them, though. So it looks like four, like, tube-like tunnels travel off in each of the cardinal directions. And you can see just from, like, you know, the couple of inches that are visible above the water, it looks like a portcullis. Blocks each of them there. So maybe you could get a better view of what's going on if you choose to dive below the water. But right now it looks like you're kind of stuck in this place where there are four ways to go. Yeah. And it looks like you're going to be swimming.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah. So you've definitely gone to the second level of the sewers where this is mostly just filth water you all are in.
Love it. God. Love it.
Love it. Love that. Love
Lou, that Lou turns to you all and she's like, I'm not putting my head under this water. Let it be known.
Her size. And she says, I'll do it.
I will bake you a big fucking cake after this. Thank you.
The worst part is having your eyes open, I think, under this water.
Pink eye for sure.
For sure. 1,000%. All right. So we like basically plop into like a four-way intersection. We're just going to go with right. Okay. And she's going to head over to the right and she's going to, with her glowy rapier out, dip her head under the water and just swim.
Yeah. So you can see, yeah, from below water, basically, you know, you're confirming what you saw down below. You see that you are in like a cylindrical chamber here, and water clearly is meant to flow through each of these four ways. And there is a like a rusted lever to open the portcullises of each way. So, yeah, you can go northwest, east, or south. So you want to go to the east?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, south. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We'll go to the east.
All right. So you go ahead and you swim over to the east, and you all feel the rest of you who aren't underwater, like kind of a shaking in the room and like a scraping as, you know, Aoife, you throw that lever to the portcullis and that way opens up and open, so you can see down the long tube that travels into the darkness. And I will say, like, you are swimming underwater, but there is like 3-ish inches right where you can come up and breathe, so you don't have to worry about like suffocating, but we are subject to the rules of like underwater combat. None of you have a swim speed, right?
Oh, no.
Good heavens, no.
So this is going to be difficult terrain for you all. And then all of basically all your attacks are at disadvantage while you're trying to swing underwater is the deal. So you want to all continue swimming down the eastern passage that is now open?
Yes. This is totally the sheet we found. The SWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was it? There was a question mark next to east. We're going east, right?
So, there were 3 lines on it. The first one said S, and then the second one said WE question mark, and the third one said question mark.
3 lines.
Yeah, the fact that the W and the E are next to each other makes me think maybe it's not cardinal directions, because if it's like directions in a way that you go, like, why would it be south and then west, east, and then question mark? Like, why wouldn't that all be in one line? But I'm intrigued.
Okay. Let's just find out what happens. I don't get it. I hate puzzles.
We're doing something.
My brain too small.
And we're
going
to start off.
So we're going to continue swimming to the east. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we keep going, and are we swimming in the same order as we entered? So Lou, Aoife, Bartleby, Tony?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
yeah,
Lou, you keep swimming ahead. You know, Aoife's opened this, and you're like swimming through the nasty filth and, you know, coming up to like get that air that, you know, well, it's nice to breathe. It's horrible. This whole place is horrible, but whatever. You continue to press on, and you know, you're coming to the end here, and you still refuse to put your eyes below water to look ahead.
No fucking way. I'll die first.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, you're like, you know, you're coming up from air and trying to navigate, and like, and you do not see at all this coming, because you're just, it's just the worst. Everything is the worst. When you feel something wet drip on your head from the ceiling and like moves to coat your body, and you realize like this green like viscous liquid like snot has just dropped from the ceiling. Ooh, and honestly, no. What this has just dropped on you looks exactly like what was growing in the pot, I will just say. But let's sidebar, let's find out what happens to you.
Great. It's like Futurama. I'm going to grow like
yeah.
So as this thing moves on your body, it's not like it just dropped on you. You can feel it like siphoning to your skin. Like it has some kind of sentience as you feel it starting to swim up your nose and trying to get into your mouth and like reaching into your eyes. And it's like, you know, plastic wrap. It's trying to like encase your body here. So this shit is coating you at this moment. So you are going to take 8 points of acid damage as you start to feel it eating at your skin and burning away and just trying to like crawl inside your body.
You have that resistance, though.
I didn't drink it.
Oh, you didn't drink it, so no.
I thought you guys did.
I was waiting.
So It is eating away at you. So I am going to go ahead and let's do like just a mini initiative here to see what happens. So Lou, I think you're startled as fuck. So between Tony and Aoife, why don't you go ahead and roll me some initiative? Or if one of you has an idea of what you want to do first. Now's the time. Within 6 seconds, what would you do to react to this?
I don't know. I feel like I would honestly shove her underwater and try and like flush it out.
Oh no.
Yeah, but sure. It might totally make things worse.
I hate everything that's happening.
Aoife, do you want to let Tony do this or do you want to try to do something first?
Aoife lets Tony do it. She has no idea how to react at this moment.
Okay, so Tony, what exactly are you doing? So you're flushing it out. What is that? What does the process look like here? Because I think you dunk her and it doesn't automatically come off, right? It doesn't just wash off. It seems to be, it's like a film, right? So are you like scrubbing it or like trying to peel it off or just hoping that'll do the trick?
Yeah, like I'm giving her an intense shampoo or something, trying to get it off, but all over her face as well.
Scrubbing it off.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're getting in there and you're like making sure the sewer water gets in there and like scraping at her and like moving because you have gloves on, right?
Yeah.
I would assume so. Yeah. So you have gloves and you're just like getting at it and you're scraping it off. You can feel as you are doing that with the combination of the water is disintegrating. Whatever this was. So it's like algae almost that has coated. So you get it off and Lou, the burning stops and you open your eyes. You're like, what's happening? And then your eyes start burning because you're in fucking sewer water and it's just the worst thing ever.
She gets a breath of air into her lungs and she just goes, you should have let me die.
Let me die. Let it eat my skin. You're crying red, yeah, it's sewage, like, oh god, oh my god.
I'm so sorry, I'll get you a spa day later, don't worry about it.
I'm worried about it, but I will take the spa day.
So, it seems that east was not the right direction to go, and you see a dead-end wall right in front of you.
Okay.
Oh, head on back. Aoife's definitely now chugging that potion of resistance.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, I drink that right down. Okay, hate that.
All right, well, I guess
so.
Well, let's go south, I guess.
So, are we assuming? Wait, I don't get what this fucking like the three. So should we go? Because the question mark at the end of east was bad? Or was it just that they didn't know?
Yeah, so it's hard. Yeah.
So I can't decide if we should just go north or if we should, and if, like, we want to go towards the question mark or if that's just all goop. Question mark equals goop.
I think it's going to be goop everywhere.
Yeah.
Drown me right now.
It's just going to be like
just
the
drown
order,
me right now.
Order of gooperations. It depends on whether we think that the southwest east note or the SWE ?, whether those are instructions or observations and how we want to interpret that. Because if we take it as instructions, then we'll want to go southwest and then somewhere. If we take it as a description, then it could be maybe describing what's immediately below here or like what's connected in these passageways.
I don't know. I've been gooped. I want to go home.
Let's go south.
Okay. So you travel south and you swim through, you know, looking above like, oh my God, what? And as you get in, you see this tunnel doesn't end in a wall. You open up into another chamber identical to the one you were just in. So south seemed to be the correct way to go. So now you can travel west, east, or south.
Okay.
So let's
go west.
Why don't you go ahead and roll me a percentile die, Sage?
Jolly good. Where is my other d10? There it is. All right. Is that a 1 or a 7? That is 13.
Okay. All right. So you continue traveling, swimming to the west, following Aoife's lead, and you appear in another identical circular room, where now you can go north, west, or south. And this is the one that occurs to you, that third line on the note. Whoever was writing these instructions didn't seem to be sure. So you've got a 33% chance of guessing this right. So how do we want to go, kids? North, west, or south?
So we went south and then we went west, correct? That's what we've done so far.
Yes.
Say we go south again.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you go ahead and you move along to the south. And as you're swimming and swimming and swimming, you're starting to go like, oh, this is feeling like an awfully long time. And all of you kind of pop back up just to, you know, check your bearings. And you don't see the end of a passageway, but you see like a big bluish wall, you think, as you're looking down this way. And it like kind of expands to fill the whole tunnel here. And you look below the water. You can't really see it because the blue kind of blends in. It's almost translucent. And you look up above again and you realize that this thing, whatever it is, it's like a cube that has been compressed into this small tunnel. And it just starts racing towards you as it's spinning down the hallway, like streaming towards where you all are.
Sick.
But that's where we're going to end the episode proper for the moment here with this big blue ass gelatinous thing running towards you.
No.
You are so close though, kids. So close to dealing.
I will say this does get to check off one of my D&D checklists of like things that I want to encounter, which is like a tunnel or a room that is just full of goo, like a gelatinous being. I haven't done that before.
Yay! I know I've never actually had a gelatinous cube show up in a game, which is so weird because they're one of my favorite monsters. They're so weird. They're so weird.
I
love them.
I just remember they're the one from Out of the Abyss is like the only one I can think of, but mm-hmm. I didn't meet it. I just saw it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's play.
But we can't quite leave there because in all of that, you know, this moment and especially to Tony, like when you were thinking about, you know, seeing that effect on the sword and everything and, you know, shielding, you know, Clyde. And it's, you don't know why in this moment, like of all things, like of all the dangerous situations to think back to, but you remember thinking back to that first time, you know, you ever saw that sword when it was offered to you by your father, if you could please for once in your life, like be good and learn some discipline. And I think it's that flash of memory. We see like, you know, Tony is maybe 6 or 7 years old and you feel yourself being roughly moved through the streets of Phelan at this point as this city guard has their hand on your shoulder and is steering you in that way like shitty adults do towards that inn where your parents are staying. And you just know, you feel your heart sinking, right? As you get closer to, like, you see the spot where, you know, your family wagons are parked outside and you're getting closer to the inn door and this guy just isn't letting up. You've tried to get out of his grasp a couple of times, but it's just not working. And he knocks on the door. And you see your father answers it and looks down and you can see the worry lines on his face, wondering where you are. And like this gigantic, you know, orcish man, you see his vision travels from this guard's point all the way down to you. And he crosses his arms in that way that just tells you so much and looks at this guard and says, "Thank you, officer. I can take it from here." Tony?
Dad? I'm sorry, officer. It won't happen again.
I think that's what you said last time.
Must have been a different kid.
Go. And yeah, your dad's like, go. And kind of ushers you inside and closes the door. And it's early in the morning. I mean, maybe, you know, 11 o'clock or you've been out playing just for a few hours here. So there's nobody else really in the inn, but your father looks tired and it's been a long day. You know, you've just closed like that latest sale and getting the horses all the way from the Shifting Plains and all the way here. And you're finally at the point where these merchants were holding out, but it's gone and it's done and you're getting ready to travel home. But he just looks exhausted as he looks down at you and kind of points towards one of the empty tables for you to take a seat.
She goes over and sits, plops down.
Yeah, and he sits down, you know, in the chair on the other side of the table across from you and kind of folds his hands in front of him and looks up at you. So what happened this time?
Well, Dad, you wouldn't know. You never know because you're not there when I'm with the other kids. And the merchants, I mean, they were just wasting your time today and they wouldn't shut up about it. So I had to make them.
Tony, you know, we're guests in this city. So it takes a little bit of diplomacy to make that happen. I know they can be tiresome, but we are guests in their home.
Well, we treat our guests so much better than they treat us, so I don't know.
That's true, but it's a matter of culture. People here are preoccupied with things like money and bargains and deals, and if we want to work together, we need to learn to understand other people, to see through the little things they say. And what were those kids even saying to you?
Well, just that, you know, their dad or their whatever is going to end up taking up all our crop for as cheap as they can get. And they know that they could get it without, well, doesn't matter.
Oh, it does. It does matter. It always matters what you think and feel. You know that. So tell me, what was it that made you want to fight those kids, really?
They called you a dumb orc. The same stupid stuff every city says about people like us.
Tony. He reaches out a hand, his, like, gigantic hand. Because, I mean, he's a... He is a tall man. Just everything about him is big. But so gently, he reaches this hand out and grabs yours on the table. Do you think that, Tony? Do you think that we're a bunch of big dumb orcs?
No.
Then why would you believe it when a child says it to you?
I'm just sick of hearing it.
Me too. But then again, most of the people in this city, and all cities, all they know is fear. That's why they have to build their little walls and live in their little boxes. It's because they're afraid. And the thing they're most afraid of is people who aren't afraid, like us. People who know what it is to be under the open skies and to live with danger and to live and learn and fight for the right reasons, not because we're afraid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
Tony, when you think about the future, what do you want to do? Do you want to be like me and trade, interact with other people? Do you want to be like your mother? Heal? Have you given that any thought?
Well, Mom does is amazing, and I think I could be good at it. I mean, I do really like being with her in the garden, but I don't think I could do that all day, every day. I like going with you and seeing new places. It's just that a lot of these new places aren't what I hope they'll be. So I just want to keep, I want to keep doing this as much as I can. Go find new places and find places that like people like us.
Well, Tony, the world isn't full of a lot of places that let people be who they are. But there are lots of people in the world who fight to make places better, to break things down, to be that person who can say responsibly, hey, you don't have to be afraid. And if you're okay with it, Tony, I've been thinking a little bit about what you might be really good at. And, you know, guards keep bringing you back to the indoor and you keep getting into fights with all of these kids. And while I'm not condoning the way you've been doing that, I think it might be time for you to learn how to fight responsibly.
But I could still fight?
Yes, but you would have to learn first why you're fighting and make sure your reasons are always good. Does that sound like a deal? Is that something you could do?
Yeah. I mean, I always think my reasons are good, but you're right. You're right.
Well,
I can be better.
I've lived on this earth for a long time, and the first thing you need to learn before harming anyone is how to not do harm unless it's really necessary. That is the only kind of violence that is ever acceptable. Does that make sense?
Big, big up and down nods.
Those kids, they aren't worth your time. That's just fear talking. And you, Tony, will learn to be fearless. When you are, I'm going to give you this. And he reaches, you know, behind him, and you see a bunch of saddlebags and stuff are strung across the back of the chair. And he lands this gigantic sword that you, at your age, it's probably the entirety as tall as you are. It's sheathed now, and you've never seen your father unsheath this sword. But you've seen the sheath before, and you've always wondered about it. But he puts it down on the table reverently. When you're ready, and when you really know what you're fighting for, Tony, I'm going to give you this sword. But you have to promise me no more fighting with kids in the street. Okay? You're going to learn to be a fighter with principles. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. She is perking up right now. It's like, oh, my God. It's so big. It's so much bigger than I thought it was. It was always hanging. But right here, it's so big.
It looks so...
Her feet hanging high off of the ground in that chair, swinging rapidly back and forth.
Yeah, and your father just, like, reading that excitement. He does something he's never done before. He takes the sword, and he reaches the handle and unsheathes the blade. And that sound, I think that sound of, you know, steel moving across leather is something that has never really left you every time you hear it. That, like, little spike of excitement comes as that from your memory, and you see Clyde for the first time, like, shining, brilliant, polished, sharpened perfectly as it hovers before you. Only for the right reasons, Tony. You just have to remember that.
She stands up on the chair and does like a salute back to him as like, only for the right reasons.
And he, you know, laughs and like puts away the sword and, you know, tousles your hair, picks you up and carries you under one arm. And that way you hate, but you secretly love. And he's like, all right, as soon as we get out of here, as long as nobody else starts any fights, we'll get back to camp. And first thing, you'll start learning how to use weapons, how to defend yourself, how to defend others. Okay.
She squeals, yeah, okay. And she wants to like push off of him like, I hate you, but I'm so excited. And
yeah,
thanks.
I'm so late.
And goes, yeah.
Gio, where are you? And starts running after her brother.
Yeah, and you just hear, you know, feet of your brother and the other children, you know, moving around upstairs. And just the sounds of everybody packing to head back out into the plains after another successful trade. And that memory in the middle of everything, I just feel so strange being where you are. So strange. And that's where we're actually ending the episode. Yay! Thank you all.
Oh. Yay! Tiny Tony.
I love Tiny Tony.
I love hanging out with my dad.
With your parents just like, what are we going to do with this girl?
Oh, good idea. Give her a sword. Give this troublemaker a sword.
it's like in karate, you know, you have to learn how to, like, you know, the principles.
Yeah, you respect the fight. Yeah.
Respect yeah. why no, it's you a fight.
Perfect, it was the perfect thing for her. Yeah. Okay. It's just objectively hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you everybody again for joining us. If you enjoy the show, please do make sure to follow, like, subscribe, leave a rating on your podcatcher of choice if you're listening to this in audio form. It really, really does help to grow the show. And just, it's amazing. Please, yeah, tell everyone you know who you think might be interested. We don't pay for advertising or anything, so it's your word of mouth and your, you know, faith in the show that helps us grow and expand and do awesome things. And of course, if you really, really like us, you can always check out our Patreon. So Patreon is a really cool website where you can donate, you know, monthly or annually to the creators you love. And basically, you know, we get those funds and we put them right back into the show and you get cool rewards. So you can pledge at different levels, get all kinds of fun rewards, coloring book pages, magic items, you know, secret notes, hundreds and hundreds of hours of bonus content, including our Rime of the Frost Maiden playthrough, our Descent into Avernus playthrough. Like, seriously, folks, super steal. And we like to take some time to shout out all those amazing people who just come through for us at the highest tiers on our Patreon level. So let's go around everybody and say thank you. Thank you so much. I'll start things off to our Arnadel's cohorts tier, so our $50 a month tier. Thank you so much to Cody Becker at CodyRolls4 on Twitter.
Thank you to Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at The One on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you, Richie113 from our Discord server. Join today.
Mm-hmm. And our Farrah's Drinking Mate tier. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you to Markali, one of our fantastic mods in our Discord server.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Faybal.
And thank you, Tony.
Oh my god, that's so appropriate. Thank you, Tony, from Tony's mouth.
From one Tony to another.
That's it. So, hey, everybody, thanks so much for joining us. I've been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Konowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I play Luverius Sath, your rancid rogue.
And I, Nassim, very good. I, Nassim, nice. Have played your half-orc fighter, Fittonia Silvertail.
We're struggling.
It's very sing-song at the end. I liked it.
I was going to say Tiny Tony, and then I was like,
commit to it at the end.
Oh.
And I am Sage, and I have been your bard, Aoife Flannery.
Yes! Well, thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time. But until then, everybody...
Venture away!
We all had our own time frame for that one.
I really jumped the gun on that one.
No, right?